Dear audience, welcome to the Conscious Wellness Show. I am Raymond Morris, your host. On today's show, we are honored to have two important guests. First, we have Janine Reagan Sinclair, and at 5:35, we have Haya Sharon Heller. If time allows at the end of the interview, we'll invite you to call in and ask your questions. We'll be playing that one by ear. Janine Reagan Sinclair's bio is the following. She's known as the Consciousness Architect. She is a certified therapist, healer, and international speaker. She is an author of 4 books and 35 self-help audios. She will be sharing her pioneering insights into healing trauma on the level of mind, body, and particularly spirit. The aspect that she believes to be the missing piece of the healing puzzle. She will also be sharing information about the cube of consciousness and how it manifests our health and our reality. Janine has also successfully been removing disease programs from DNA and will explain how this is possible during her interview. Janine is a pioneer in her field and her testimonial speaks for themselves. Janine's book, she's published 4 books to date. The first one is the educational book for people interested in the meaning of life and personal / spiritual development. The other 3 books are adaptations of her personal diaries filled with stories of her out-of-body experiences and astral traveling adventures. And that's basically it. Janine, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Very good. And you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good. So what is it you'd like to share with us today?
Well, where do we start? Maybe a little bit about how I ended up where I am now might be helpful. The Consciousness Architect comes from my background in architecture. So I was in architecture for 18 years, and then I had a trauma, which was the loss of my father, and it completely changed my life. So that's how I ended up becoming the Consciousness Architect. I became a healer, worked with energy healing first, and then I went back to university and studied psychology, hypnotherapy, counseling. And there were various other courses that I did. Studied, worked with shamans, I think they say in America and the US. In England, we say shamans. And touched on some of the modalities as well, some dabbled with some craniosacral and kinesiology and flower formulas and things like that. So this has been 16 years now, complete change of career. So now I work with all kinds of people, from celebrities to war veterans to the general public. It doesn't really matter. I specialize more in helping people with trauma because I understand what it feels like to suffer trauma. So I went on a quest to find out as much as I could about how to heal it. And you said earlier about what I see to be the missing piece of the puzzle is the spirit part of healing trauma. And by spirit, I mean energy. So I mix all of these modalities together, and that's why I get results. I can't hear you.
You do these healing modalities at a distance or in workshops? How does it work?
Most of the people I work with now is either on WhatsApp or Facebook or online, to be honest. People tend to open up more to me if they don't have to sit in front of me and look me in the eye, especially when I've worked with war veterans and men. You know, you guys are not very good at sharing your emotional stuff, and it's easier to talk to somebody over the telephone than it and tell them, you know, deep personal stuff than look them in the eye when you're, you know, on a one-to-one in a clinic or something like that. So it works well in that respect, because it gives people that little bit of distance, that little bit of space where they feel comfortable to open up. And there's some pretty heavy duty stuff goes on with people. I've been told a lot of stuff that really would make your hair curl. So I was teaching workshops, and sometimes I teach personal spiritual development now to one-on-one with people, or maybe a couple But I don't do big workshops anymore. I used to teach on that level many years ago. And I prefer doing the one-on-ones. But I'm also a writer as well. So I don't do too much of one thing, because I like people to get my best. And I feel like if I was seeing 20, 30 people every week, that by the end of the week, they wouldn't be getting my best. So I don't have a lot of one-on-one clients these days. I try and keep it down so that everybody gets my undivided attention, and, you know, I'm not too tired to be dealing with it at the end of the week. So I write, I've written 4 books, I've written children's books and all sorts of stuff that I haven't even published yet. I've got a whole box of stuff, manuscripts in storage that haven't even gone there. I published 4 books at the same time, and I don't recommend doing that. It was absolute nightmare, especially the editing. You just get word blind, basically, is the best way I can describe it.
And do you do therapy with children as well, or just with adults?
I've worked with children up to a certain age. I would say kind of 10 is the youngest that I'd be comfortable to work with. And the audios that I make, they could be used by age 10 and up as well. So I've made different audios. It started off with helping people just clear blocks. These are subconscious things that stop people moving forward in their life. So I made some audios to clear abundance blocks and money blocks and spiritual development blocks. And then I met a guy who was a Marine, and he'd been retired for 8 years and had basically not slept, he said, for about 8 years. He'd had trouble sleeping and he had problems talking. There was big sentences in between his words because he'd suffered many concussions when he was in Afghanistan, and they hadn't, like, you know, they just get on with it. These guys get knocked around and they tend to ignore bumps to the head unless they're serious, and it has an effect on people. So I worked with Mike, and it was him that inspired me to make the 4 post-traumatic growth audios, which has just got a more positive ring to it than post-traumatic stress. So I made them about 4 years ago now. So, yeah, 4 years ago. And they basically are something people can download onto their phone or their iPad or their computer, and they can do, you know, they can do some work on themselves. So the 4 main areas that I discovered were the problem with post-traumatic stress and most trauma, I made a different audio for each one of those. So there's one for, I don't know if you, do you know what happens when you suffer a massive trauma?
Yeah, I'm quite familiar with the subject. I've listened to many people describe different ways of going about it. I'm familiar with the subject.
So do you understand that the part of the emotional, the spiritual energy body breaks away from the whole? It fragments, it shatters when people go through a trauma.
Yes, in order to be able to cope with the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah, and most people at home have probably heard things like that. People will say, I haven't felt the same since that happened, or I feel like a piece of me is missing, something like that. And that's because this, I call it a soul fragment, which is a piece of you that goes out of yourself as a coping mechanism so you can go through the motion. You know, most of us have been through some kind of loss of a loved one, for example, and it makes you feel numb. That's the feeling you get. You feel numb, you're going through the motions, but you're not really emotionally attached to things any longer. So one of the audios, clear, when that happens, when a piece of you goes out, whatever's in the vicinity comes in. So if you're in a war zone or somewhere frightening, you're absorbing that negative energy into your body, and that stays with you, goes home with you. So the first audio clears this energy out of the body, and it basically cleans you up so that we can bring the parts of you back in. And then the second audio, that finds up to 3 soul fragments. And I've worked with people, and I think the most I've ever found in one person was 13. So that's 13 pieces of them, their psyche, detached from, you know, their main body, if you like. And they're just not with it. They don't feel connected to their families and their loved ones anymore because this emotional part of them is outside. So the audio mate brings up to three back. So if you've got 12, every time you use it, you would bring back another three different ones. So it wouldn't be, you know, it's not repetitive. The good thing about these audios is every time you use them, they do something different, even though the wording's the same, because they connect you with your higher consciousness. So there's something that people can use for life. So that was the first two things. And then you're going to ask me a question.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, I mean, some people would say everybody has some fragment lost, or almost everybody, even just the process of birthing could be enough to cause some, yeah, of that for some people. So what do you think? Do you think most people have at least one or more fragments?
Definitely. Everybody's been through some kind of trauma, whether it was being born or giving birth. That's traumatic to both parties. Death of a loved one, death of a pet, car crashes. You know, it's not. People tend to think PTSD is something that's linked just to war veterans and, you know, serious trauma, maybe for sexual abuse or violent abuse and stuff like that. But I'm pretty sure that 95% of us, if not 100% of us, have got some kind of trauma going on, or we've been through something like that that's affected us. And people that go through it a lot and often and don't deal with it, I think it can seriously affect their personality to the point where they almost become unknown, you know, entities to their families. Like they've completely changed personality. They're not the person they were. For example, the guy that I mentioned earlier, Mike, when he lost the soul, he had four soul fragments outside of him when I met him. But what had gone in the vicinity, he was in a war zone, was all this like negative, dark colored energy. Your energy should be the colors of the rainbow. His torso was full of all this like gray, black energy, which is fear, hatred, you know, just the densest energy that you can imagine. And you're going home with that. So that's going to have a knock-on effect. It's going to make you short-tempered, much more volatile than you would normally be, because we are energy. That's what human beings are. We're made of energy. People think we're solid. We're not solid at all. Most of us is empty space. We're waves of energy. And those frequencies, the healthy ones, are nice, vibrant, bright colors. And the thick, denser ones are the fear, hatred, terror, and all these, you know, other low vibration frequencies that people pick up when they're in war zones, or, you know, even in some shady bars and stuff like that.
Would you say that that's like thought forms or entities or a mixture?
A mixture. I think when your soul fragments, either if you're in a war zone, there's a lot of negative energy in the air. There's fear in the air, and that goes in. Entities are, you know, an entity is an energy mass, but there are different shapes and different forms of entities as well. I tend to call them electromagnetic parasites, and they're things that can, they're non-biological, that can be absorbed into the system when people get involved with drink or drugs or something like that. They open people up. So, entities. There's a big scope of possibilities under that description of a word.
A big fauna of possible uninvited guests.
Yeah, uninvited guests, for sure. And I do help people, you know, remove them. People don't realize. I interviewed a guy on my radio show years ago who was linked to the Spiritual Science Research Foundation in India. And their studies, the statistics they brought up were 80% of society are possessed. That's what Sean told me when I interviewed him. 80%.
Yeah. Well, it depends what you, how you define possession, but one form or another, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. So, yeah, I call them electromagnetic parasites, people that were into spiritual stuff or the Bible would call them spirits or spirit attachments or even demons. And people say things like that all the time. I talk to kids that go out drinking and taking drugs and whatever, and I'll say to them, you know, have you ever heard the saying, I don't know what possessed me to do that last night? So there's a clue there. You know, when you get to a certain level of intoxication, your soul goes out of your body, and whatever entities are in the room can come in and take over. And if you're lucky, it's temporary, and you do something, you know, where you're making a fool of yourself, and it goes out when you sober up the next day. But some people, it doesn't go out, it stays in, and then that's when their addictions get, you know, more severe. And one of the audios is to clear something that I discovered called, and I call it the addiction thread, which is like an energetic cord that runs from the coccyx on the base of the spine, and it goes up the spine, and it coils into the brain. And that is basically where your thought processes, your cognitive processes are being influenced by base energy, base vibrations. So it does have an effect on people's behavior. It's not an overnight cure for addiction by any means, but it's something that could be used on a repetitive level. It's a 25-minute audio, and it guides you through a visualization of cleaning the spinal column and taking that out of the brain and putting light into the area to change it.
When you give me that picture, it sounds almost like somebody's put a direct path between the lower chakra with all its fear-based survival themes and whatever, so that it can directly influence the brain, you know, without any sort of filters along the way.
Yeah, that's what's going on. So that's the third one. And then the fourth one, so there's the one clears all of the negative energy out of your chakra system and out of your body, which basically cleans you up enough for your soul fragments to be brought back in. And then there's one for the addiction thread. And then the other thing that's really common with people today is concussion injuries, like people bumping their heads all the time and damaging neurons in the head. So I made one that repairs the brain, that repairs neuropathway damage in the brain. And I think I've come across something there that could potentially be massive in other areas, because when I made it, I didn't realize it could probably help with ADHD, Parkinson's disease, dementia, any degenerative brain problem, really. And that, again, is they're only 25 minutes long, but it takes people on a guided visualization to repair the neuropathways in the brain, to repair the neurons, and cleanses out any negative energies that have come in through shock, for example.
You sell these in your online store, or?
Yeah, they're on my website, which is crystalkey.com. That's crystalki.com. And they're on the audio page on there. So people can download them for Vimeo. They're not expensive, because when I made them with war veterans in mind, and a lot of them are on welfare or social security. So, you know, money is an issue. So I did make them pretty cheap. People can rent one for a week for, I think, $5.99.
You mentioned the cube of consciousness, that you were going to talk about that. Can you describe that to us?
Yeah, sure. When I used to teach people about spiritual development, I would give them information, tools where they could work on themselves. And then when they'd gone out into the world and realized about the law of projection, where you're looking out into the world around you is reflecting back to you parts of you that you need to be aware of, then they would come back to me and do the workshops. And basically it becomes a cube. So there's you, and then there's a line of 11 others, which is 12. And that 12 becomes a square of 12 by 12. And the square becomes a cube of 12 by 12 by 12, which is 1728 aspects of you being reflected into the world around you. So everyone around you, you're out there coming across the law of projection, you're coming across people that are angry or materialistic or gossipy or whatever. Instead of judging them, you know, basically the rule is, if you spot it, you got it. People see in the world around them what's being reflected back at them is what they own in their own consciousness. So I teach people how to use the world around them as a school for information so that they can go home and work on their own shortcomings. So, you know, obviously we've seen great things out there. That's fantastic. But if you're seeing stuff out there that you feel judgmental about or you feel is wrong, if you've got an opinion on it, then those imprints are in your consciousness, because they say that we inherit 1 to the power of 18 zeros, which I think is a quintillion imprints down our ancestral lineage, which all of that is creating our reality. That's a lot of imprints. That's a lot of stuff that we've inherited. I mean, I've met people that go, well, I've seen a lot of angry people today, but I'm not an angry person. I, you know, I'm a happy person. But you don't know what's buried deep down in your subconsciousness or what you've inherited in your DNA, because it's just a, you know, mass of information that is inherited that we're not even aware of all of it. We're only aware of, what do they say, 5 or 10% conscious anyway.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. So that number you gave was like, we're talking about tens of thousands of generations back, or?
Well, they say 7 generations. But, you know, every one of them has inherited 7 generations as well. So it's massive. It's a massive number. I can't remember the guy's name that came up with that figure, but it's 1 to the power of 18 zeros. And I looked it up online because I wondered what the name was, and I think it's a quintillion.
That's a big number.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it in my bank account, that's for sure.
Fortunately, you can't cash it in for cash.
That's true. You can't. Yeah.
So have you got some, do you do any online workshops?
No, I haven't. And I'm new to Zoom as well. So as you know, you've helped me set this up. I did do Skype ones a few years ago, and then I kind of stopped teaching and started writing more as well. I've just finished my second movie script. And there's always a lot going on with me. So the teaching was great, but then it's all the emails and things afterwards. It takes up a lot of time if you've got a lot of students out there, and I didn't enjoy that side of it.
The maintenance of it all.
Yeah, the maintenance of the workshops. Yeah, I don't want to be sitting in front of a computer all day. Basically, I handwrite, and I've got a dictating app as well, so I don't even, you know, have to type anymore. I'm too sensitive to be on a computer for more than, like, you know, 2 hours a day, really, is about my max. And if you're teaching workshops, you know, people, they want to be in touch with you all the time and emails. I mean, you probably know. You end up spending all your time on the computer, and that's no fun.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, unless you have a bunch of assistants, it's a lot to manage.
Yeah. Yeah, but generally, you know, if I even get an assistant, there's not many people that have got the knowledge base I've got for what I do. So people want to speak, you know, they don't want to speak directly to me. The assistants would be writing emails to me then.
Yeah,
that's not gonna work.
I know what you mean. So is there anything else you want to share with us, or do you want us to invite callers to call in? What would you like to do next?
If you've got any callers that have got any questions, I'm happy to speak to people. I would like to mention about the DNA as well.
Go ahead.
I started working with DNA with people probably about 8 years ago now. And basically I'm taking people into deep meditation to change the software in the machine. So I'm taking them into meditation so that they can look at their own DNA and see any problems, areas in the DNA, even diseases in the DNA. And they can be rewritten or taken out when you're at the quantum level. So I'm taking people in on a quantum level to look at their DNA, to take even addictions in the DNA as well, by the way. That's passed down And making changes at that level, usually within kind of 3 to 6 weeks, people start to see a difference in their health, because your DNA is like the software in your computer. It writes what's on the screen. As a lot, you know, as well as your environmental stuff and what you're eating and exercise and so on. But, you know, there's a difference of opinion with, do we inherit stuff and or don't we inherit stuff? And if you go to people like Dr. Bruce Lipton, who wrote The Biology of Belief, he said that we don't inherit disease from our ancestors, but if we believe we're going to inherit the disease, we'll inherit the disease. So the stuff in our DNA that we're not even aware of, that can be taken out, and you can go in using guided imagery, which are the techniques that I use, and you can wipe the slate clean, basically. And I've been getting some pretty good results with it. I've got a couple of affidavits come through, and taking it to the next level now. So it's just letting people know that there are other options available to people. And what people call the placebo effect is mind over matter. You know, it's not an accident. If people believe they can heal and they use the right techniques, they can heal themselves.
Absolutely. I think that's even stated in the Bible or the New Testament.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something. I saw something yesterday in a documentary. It was two conditions to heal. This is Jesus saying to one of his disciples, that I think is one of the lost gospels. It's not one of the ones that are in the New Testament, but he does say one of the conditions is that they have the faith that they can heal. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, I forget what the second one was, but basically saying the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can heal, you know, and I'm walking evidence of it. I've had some health issues in the past. And I would go to the doctor, find out what they said it was, and then go down the healing route and sort it out. So I know it can be done because I've done it, and I've got friends that have done it and friends that are doing it. One in particular at the moment who's suffered with Lyme disease. She was in the forces. She's an ex-nurse, and she's worked with me on the DNA and the Lyme disease. Those patterns have gone out of the test results, have come back clear. So, you know, I'm like over the moon that nurses are waking up to this stuff.
Yeah,
I'm surrounded by them.
Okay. In the UK?
Well, I know a couple of nurses in Florida, and I know 4 nurses in Canada. And I'm not a nurse. I've never been a nurse, but they're all open-minded and they all understand energy healing and, you know, the power, the fact that the mind can heal the body if people are pointed in the right direction. And if you've got guided visualization while you're in trance state, is phenomenal. It's like going into the software in your computer and putting a new program in there. You're going to see a different thing on the screen. The body's the screen.
Do you do that with hypnosis, or how do you do that?
Well, that's what I use some hypnosis techniques, some NLP techniques. I use some breathing from meditation to get people into a relaxed state of consciousness. I've been on a lot of other courses as well, so it depends what I'm doing and what people need. But I tend to use crystal key healing is my modality, and that works with diamond energy. He was working with diamond energy 15 years ago before anyone else was in the UK, and it was a bit ahead of its time, to be honest. But I bring in the energy, so I clear the energy and go into the subconscious mind, go into the DNA, go into healing rooms, go into past, what people would call past lives, which are probably the imprints of our ancestors that we think, you know, we've experienced, feel like they were our past lives. Because there is no past or future, there is only now in the field. So it's a combination of all of it, really. And I think that's why I get results, because I haven't just stayed in one particular modality. I think you need a combination in order to get results.
Or to get different perspectives. on the matters, yeah.
And going in, being able to look at mind, body, and spirit. My head thinks about that. You know, mind, body, and spirit. Look at all of it. And I think the spirit part of it, as I say, is the energy, is the missing piece of the puzzle. This is why people are ending up on medication and counselling for life, because those soul fragments we mentioned earlier are not being brought back to the person. And if they're not brought back, they're just floating around in the quantum field, still affecting the person, and you know, with those trauma patterns still running in the machine.
So how do you bring them back?
How do I bring them back? I talk people through guided breathing exercises. And then I will tap into where that soul fragment is. Sometimes I will let them communicate with the soul fragment if they need to talk to them. So I'll have like a healing room in their mind, which they go into the room and this part of them is there. Sometimes I will do some healing on the soul fragment. So I bring that back into balance, take the fear out, for example, if it was a fearful experience. So I'll do the healing on the person, clean their body out of what they've absorbed into the space where the fragment was. And then I do some healing on the fragment, and then it's integrated back through a guided visualization of that fragment walking up to them, and they imagine giving it a hug and bringing it back into their body. So it's integrated that way.
So can you tell just by looking at somebody if they have some fragments to their soul?
Yeah, I've been clairvoyant my whole life. So usually, and I'm very intuitive as well. So when people phone me, as soon as they start talking to me, I get images flash up, like ting, ting, ting. And I can tell whether they've got, how many soul fragments they've got, usually within plus or minus a year of the age. So if they were four and I'm seeing a four-year-old, I'll say this, you know, this one's about four, give or take a year. And I'm usually pretty spot on with the age as well. And then they've got an idea. Oh yeah, that's when my mum and dad got divorced or something like that. When I say the age, they remember what the trauma was.
So how many dozen soul fragments do I have? You don't have to answer the question, but if the answer is available.
Do you want to
know? I'm open. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you've got 3, 4, I'd say. One of them's a child, so I count that as a half. Three and
right.
a half, four.
He's probably the biggest fragment, though.
Yeah.
I've had that kind of work done on me before, but I'm not sure how successful it was. But I have had the work done. But whether they – is it possible that the fragments can go off on their own once they've been brought back? Not because another trauma has happened, but just because, I don't know, the integration wasn't done well enough? Or do you think
if people haven't done it properly, then, you know, there could be problems. I've never had any problems. And, you know, there's other things about taking things out. You know, we talked earlier about non-biological visitors, shall we say. Electromagnetic parasites. They're another thing that a lot of people are out there taking out. They're saying they're taking these things out of people, but they're going back in. It's because they're not doing a proper job. There's too many people dabbling in things that they haven't really been fully immersed in and learned properly. I've done a lot of astral traveling and a lot of shamanic stuff as well. And so I'm very blessed in that I've got the spirit side of the knowledge base down to a fine art. I've been working with it for 16 years and I've done it a lot. I've done a lot of astral traveling and a lot of communication on that level and a lot of studying about how to put people back together and how to do it properly and make sure things are sealed in and make sure things are healed. I mean, only the other day I heard somebody saying about bringing soul fragments back in, and they're going, oh yeah, I can bring soul fragments back in. And I said, do you heal the soul fragment before you integrate it into the client? And they said, no, I just bring it back. I said, so you're bringing back a broken, you know, energy field back into the person when it needs to be brought into balance first and then brought back into the person.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened to me. But I'm just thinking it's a shame that we can't delegate some tasks to all these fragments. That way we could be more efficient, but it doesn't seem to work that way. Listen,
well,
we're coming
different
up.
Go on.
Yeah, we got about a minute left. So anything, that any last words of wisdom that you want to share, or your website again, any coordinates?
Obviously the website's there, crystalkey.com. If people want to connect with me, I'm on Facebook as well under my full name, Janine Regan Sinclair. So people can contact me there, and that's probably the best place to contact me. There's a lot of old stuff on there that's just interesting stuff that I put on Facebook. It's not what I had for dinner last night. I put useful stuff on there about scientists proving that we leave our body and astral project and things like that. So if they go back down the old feed, there's a lot of interesting stuff on Facebook. I don't use it very often, but if people write me, I do. We'll connect back with them if they've got any questions or whatever. But try and keep the messages short, please.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. I just want to repeat to our audience, it's Crystal Key. That's Crystal spelled normally, but Key, it's ki.com.
Yeah.
And Janine is, she's a world traveler, but she's generally based out of the UK. I think you have a clinic on Harley Street?
Yeah, a clinic at number 10 Harley Street. Been there for, it'll be 10 years in January.
The infamous Harley Street.
Yeah.
I used to live a couple streets away from there, actually, Devonshire Place. But
that's
where all the famous doctors are. People in the U.S. might not know that, but it's
yeah. People in the U.S. And Canada don't really know about Harley Street, but yeah, it's where the creme de la creme.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful clinic.
Yeah,
but, nice. But as I say, most of my work is done online these days, makes it easier.
Well, we wish you all the divine assistance to help you heal all those people out there that can benefit from your modalities and techniques. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show one day.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Blessings.
Take care. Thank you.
All the best.
To you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Next, we have Chaya Sharon Heller. And I'll just give you a little background. She's a BA. CAP, CA-IAYT, LMT, and E-RYT 500. Now, I'm not sure what all these things mean. Maybe Harriet will explain it to us. And her slogan is relax, restore, rebalance. She's an Ayurvedic massage therapist, yoga therapist, education and professional trainings. She finds, part of her slogan is find freedom, feel better, and live purpose. Chaya is a gifted and radiant educator and program presenter, recognized for her holistic, personalized, therapeutic, and transformative application of Ayurveda, massage, and yoga therapy, helping people find freedom, feel better, and live purposefully with her vast amount of knowledge from her decades of training and experience as a holistic health educator and performing artist that informs her practice, emerging with distinction as a teacher of substance. She is CEO, educator, and practitioner of Hayaveda, integrative healing arts, and service provider offering personalized and profound wellness services and experiences that inspire her clients to attain a vibrant and healthy life with education and wellness services that leverage the inner technology, unlocking healing and creative potential. Chaya has authored Yoga of Action, Holistic Lifestyle, and Adaptive Yoga for People with Multiple Sclerosis and Similar Condition. The book has been featured in Kripalu Yoga, A Guide to Practice on and Off the Mat, and also been featured in Yoga International magazine. She's a national program facilitator and speaker and educator and passionate about her advocacy for women, girls, and people with disabilities. She worked at the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, at the Kripalu Yoga and Health Center, at the Omega Institute, at Canyon Ranch, at the University of Florida College of Health and Professional Education Department, and as integrative medicine practitioner and wellness educator, as well as presenting at the Inspiring Women in Leadership Conference and her Global Online Wellness Challenge. Chaya has garnered prestigious testimonials for her life-changing work at HayaVeda.com. Welcome on the show, Haya.
Well, hey, it's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome.
That was a great talk that Janine gave. I really enjoyed it. And interesting how those of us in the healing profession, so much we're saying similar things with different language, trying to help people through our own experience. So I guess I could start out saying a little bit about how I got to where I am. I was a professional dancer, danced around the world, and always was interested in health and well-being. But I think as artists, I've worked with arts and medicine, and you know, looking at arts and health, I don't see much of a separation. I think people that are artists have a way of being in the world that's sensitive and subtle, and seeing things in ways beyond ordinary perception. So I got into healing arts and transitioned into healing dance injuries into yoga therapy. Spent many years at Kripalu Center, and that's where we met. And have gone into Ayurveda. So Ayurveda is a quantum mechanical science that really looks at all aspects of the human experience. And I found it so profound after studying many different modalities of healing. This really worked. It was effective. And it really looks at all aspects of a human being and integration of the human being within themselves. And then there's a spontaneous integration with the world. So yes, as a dancer, not only the physicality of it, but there was deep emotional stress and strain in my life, not having support of my family and some relationship issues that were challenging. And so I found my experience with yoga and Ayurveda to be healing and allow me to move past those things and to be able to help others. Where to begin in discussing Ayurveda? So, Ayurveda is thousands of years old. It looks at all aspects of a person. It sees health as the integration of the person. It's a return to holism versus reductionism, which is what we see in not only our Western medicine, but we can even see some practitioners branching off into natural medicine that still have this Western mentality and a Western fragmented view.
I think it's in all domains of science too, not just medicine, and it's every domain is fragmented from the others.
Yes. So Ayurveda looks at, you know, I use the term understanding our technology. When we think of technology today, we think of an external device, and you see so many people with health issues of all kinds, whether it's physical, mental, and emotional, seeking the answers outside of themselves as if picking up a device. Now with the internet, people are getting online and just searching and searching, and there's so much information, but I don't know that it's being digested well. And they're out there looking for answers when the answers are inside. So Ayurveda really addresses all aspects of a person with integration of modalities that creates the conditions for a person to more fully learn who they are, to become more self-aware. In its higher view, yoga and Ayurveda are about self-realization, self-actualization, which in modern medicine, often practitioners there don't even believe that's possible. So when that's like part of the definition of health. So yeah, the definition of health from the Ayurvedic viewpoint is a person whose constitutional is in balance, their waste products are eliminating properly, Their tissues are well-formed, and they have a bright and shining soul, where they know who they are. They're seated in the self, in the center of their self. The root cause of disease being a mistake of the mind or a misidentification of mind. So the original forms of Ayurvedic medicine were nervines, and looking at using mantra and meditation, and which embraces the mind, but also, and it's interesting that I've done some research on vagal nerve stimulation. And what are these ancient practices, mantra and chanting and breathing with a sound through the throat is vagal nerve stimulation. So the ancient wisdom was so brilliant. They were able to see and access things beyond what we would consider ordinary perception because they strengthened and used their inner technology to understand the world and to understand their relationship to the world. So in Ayurveda, first thing I do is teach people about their constitutional type. So it's like genetics. It's really the earliest form of genetics. Modern science is now studying these things and validating what this ancient wisdom has been saying all along, just using a slightly different language. So genetics, your genetic or your Ayurvedic constitutional nature is determined at conception. And then the way you live your life, through diet and lifestyle, this affects the condition of your constitution. So, for example, that's like epigenetics, studying genes. People today will say your genes are turned on or turned off by how you live your life, things you eat, and how you go through your day. So we now can see in Ayurveda, this ancient wisdom was saying this for thousands of years. It has tools and techniques to be able to assess a person through certain things we can see in their physical nature, we can question, and even the way they respond and perceive through life. So different elements, the elements like ether, air, fire, water, and earth, have different functions in the body. They govern how the body functions, and they also govern how we perceive. So for example, people with a lot of ether and air are sensitive to sound and touch. So they take the world in more through how it feels. They're more kinesthetic, and by they're sensitive to sound. They may be also have an emotional component. They tend to be more anxious and worried or nervous, but they also are very creative because ether and air governs movement. So the mind is also moving as well as in the body moving. Then you have the fire, people with more fire and water. They are more visual by nature. They take in the world by what they see. And they also may even be in professions that are more visually oriented. And they're also more analytical and they're organized. They're good with charts and graphs and architecture, things that would be visual and organizational. People with more water and earth are going to, they're more slow and steady and loyal. They have different qualities. They are more sensitive to, well, actually, we say that they're about smell, but they have a thicker skin, and actually, they have a lack of smell. And they tend to turn more of their emotions inward. They are very loyal and steady, like the Energizer Bunny, maybe slow to get started, but once they get started, they stay with something until it's totally complete. Whereas someone with a lot of ether and air, there's a lot of movement always going on. So they're moving, their mind is moving. They're like a kid in a candy store. They are very creative and they get things started, but have a harder time completing them.
So what's the best way for somebody to, be able to use this as a mirror or a tool to evolve, let's say?
There are so many ways and applications for this as a framework. I mean, this is used, I do staff trainings and team building, showing the different natures of people, different leadership styles. I've spoken to women in leadership at the University of Florida, and how this may affect your style of leading. So someone who's got more ether and air has a more creative style. They're a little more subtle and flexible, whereas someone with a lot of fire, they are more critical, more judgmental. They have a stronger constitution. They're a little competitive. Their leading style would be more competitive, whereas the other, the ether and air style is more collaborative.
So we have about 3 minutes left. I just want to make sure you get the most important before it's over. I think you got some workshops, some online 14-day health challenge.
We are super excited at Hayaveda. We have our first online global wellness challenge. It's coming up soon, November 4th, and we'll be doing that through Facebook Live, and we'll have an interactive course. You'll see me every day. There'll be handouts and videos covering all different aspects of life through the Ayurvedic lens, the Ayurvedic approach to nutrition and holistic living. So learning about your constitutional type, how circadian rhythms, your diet, your lifestyle, and we'll also work with deep relaxation, the mind and emotions through a practice of breathing and yoga nidra, which is a form of guided imagery as well. So that's real. We're really excited about that coming up.
So people people can do this from anywhere in the world, from the comfort of their home.
Exactly. Yes. And I also do Ayurvedic consultations, and those can be done through online as well.
Okay. And I believe you also have you teach yoga classes. You've got a center in Gainesville, Florida.
Yep, I'm in Gainesville now. Ayurveda Integrative Healing Arts, and we see people one-on-one for Panchakarma, which is a signature Ayurvedic detox and rejuvenation programs. It involves a lot of very luxurious spa type, but very therapeutic programs. And then we also do outreach in the community. We're very involved in the community. We do staff trainings for the Center for Independent Living, helping people with disabilities, and for women and girls. So I have a book that I've written, Yoga of Action, Holistic Lifestyle and Adaptive Yoga for People with Multiple Sclerosis and Similar Conditions. Mm-hmm. So I work with people with autoimmune conditions as well. My mother has MS, and that inspired me early on to help this population.
And you're also a fully-fledged experienced yoga teacher.
I've been teaching yoga for over 20 years. I'm a yoga therapist. I'm a certified yoga therapist. And actually, I teach integrative yoga therapy teacher trainings. We have one starting this Friday. It's a 200-hour yoga teacher training. And then we do continuing education, Ayurveda and yoga. So teaching people how to use yoga therapeutically, how to properly sequence the powerful tools of yoga, postures, breathing, mudra, mantra, according to their constitution and their condition. We also have all the Ayurvedic body treatments, and we train massage therapists on how to do those as well. So if people are interested, please contact me. We'd love to see you. Some of our stuff is online, and some is, you know, there's some things that you really gain from being one-on-one. I love working with people. I'm totally passionate about helping people, about meeting people where they are. You know, we all are looking for answers to our stress, our fatigue, or our burnout, or our emotional questions. And I love meeting people where they are and really creating the conditions for them to have their own journey of self-discovery. Ayurveda and yoga are powerful, very powerful tools that are very ancient and time-tested.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. We're running out of time here. I just want to share your website with everybody. So it's hayaveda.com. That's spelled hayaveda.com. And you can email haya@info@hayaveda.com. She is in Gainesville, Florida. On 41st Street, those who are local. She does get people that come in quite distance for the yoga teacher training, because that's a longer, more involved, serious process. And next week we have Robert Jan Pantheon of airtanam.com. not sure how to pronounce that properly, but you can go on our website and you will find the details of that. And we would like to thank our show technician, Donald Newsom, and our sponsors, Community Marketing Communications, Wellness Marketing Experts, and Strategic Planning, Website Design, Directory Specialist, and New Revenue Specialist. Visit them at communionmarketing.com. If you'd like to be if you'd like to sponsor the show or advertise during the show and get great exposure within the wellness community, please contact us for more information on our packages at bbs.com. And if you wish to be interviewed, you can contact me, the host, Raymond Morris, either on 514-798-2737 or raymond@bbsradio.com. Or if you're far away, Raymond Morris, that's my Skype address. It's all in one word. And may the grace and the blessings of the divine creators be bestowed upon you, be bestowed upon each and every one of you. Thank you very much for joining us. And we thank our guests again, Janine and Haya.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.